Well, during this season of Lent, we've been focused on these life-changing encounters that people we read about in the gospel had with Jesus. And today we're looking at an encounter between Jesus and a Samaritan woman that's recorded in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 42. Now today I'll just be reading verses 7 through 13, which give us a good idea of what's going on. And my hope is that you'll take some time during this week to read the entire passage. From the Good News Translation, we read this. A Samaritan woman came to draw some water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The woman answered, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use." Jesus answered, "If you only knew what God gives and who it is that's asking you for a drink, you would ask him and he would give you life-giving water." "Sir," the woman said, "you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water?" "It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his children and his flock all drink from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?" Jesus answered, "Those who drink this water will get thirsty again, but those who drink the water that I give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I give them will become in them a spring, which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask for you to speak to us through these words of Scripture and through the whispers of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, last week we looked at an encounter between Jesus and this guy by the name of Nicodemus. And if you'll remember, Nicodemus was elite by just about every measure you could use back in the days of Jesus. He was a key leader among the Jews, he was a Pharisee, and he was also a member of the Sanhedrin, which was kind of like being on a Supreme Court justice in Jewish society. And he no doubt came from a very wealthy family and had the best of educations. Yet he was intrigued by the teachings of Jesus. And under the cover of darkness, he sought Jesus out. And Jesus challenged Nicodemus to see things differently, to understand that being aligned with God wasn't about doing everything right, but about allowing God's Spirit to move and flow within your soul. Now, today's encounter is a complete reverse from the one Jesus had with Nicodemus. This encounter was with a woman at the bottom of the socioeconomic structure of that day. This woman wasn't smug and self-righteous like many of the Pharisees that Jesus encountered. She was like the polar opposite. Our scripture reading for today starts out with this encounter between Jesus, who was resting beside a well, and this woman who came to draw water from that well, which was mostly a role for women back then. The women normally came early in the morning to avoid the noonday heat. Women would often come and socialize there as they filled their clay jars. But this woman came about noon by herself to draw water. Jesus had stopped there to rest while his disciples went into town to buy a little food at the local Wegmans. So it was just Jesus and this woman alone at the well. And it's a rather awkward encounter. First of all, Jesus was a rabbi who was required to observe all the laws and all the customs of the Jewish faith back then. And back then, men rarely, if ever, spoke to a woman they met in public, especially a woman who was alone. Second, she was a Samaritan, and the Jews and the Samaritans were enemies. They had been for hundreds of years. Samaritans were of a mixed race, often coming from intermarriages between Jews and Gentiles. And Jews and Samaritans did not mix socially. The Jews didn't want to risk their social position by being associated with inferior people. And Samaritans wanted as little to do as possible with the snobbish Jews who treated them like third-class citizens. So this woman had to be shocked when Jesus not only acknowledged her presence, but actually spoke to her. And then there's this interesting dialogue that takes place about two different kinds of water. Water from the well, which quenches the physical thirst. And then there's this water that Jesus talks about. He calls it living water. It's a different kind of drink. Now listen to this dialogue from our scripture reading for today. You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Then Jesus responds in a way that turns this conversation to the spiritual. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water from the well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water. Clearly not tracking with him. But this is what happens next, and it's very profound. Jesus tells her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. So this woman, who no doubt felt unworthy already, must have really been squirming at this point. She now has three strikes against her. She's a woman, she's a Samaritan, and she's a divorcee, a five-time divorcee. And now she's living with number six without the benefit of marriage, prompting some scholars to suggest that she was a little promiscuous and kind of a town harlot. But this we know. Back in those days, it was a patriarchal society, and only husbands had the power to divorce, meaning that this woman, in one way or another, had been discarded five times. Now, can you imagine what she felt like, how she felt about herself? Can you imagine how low her self-esteem must have been? And she must have been really shocked at Jesus' knowledge of her lifestyle. And she says, I see you're a prophet, sir. You guess. But my question to you is this. Why is Jesus, a rabbi, even talking with a woman of such ill repute? What would the Pharisees think? Even his own disciples didn't understand this encounter. In verse 27, we read, at the moment the disciples returned and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with this woman. So what do you think this story is all about? My take is, first and foremost, it's a story of God's radical love. That God's love isn't based on human merit. It's not based on social status. It's not about living up to all the rules and regulations. It's about a different kind of drink. It's about drinking from a different well. It's about drinking a different kind of water, a life-giving water that comes from the Spirit, a spring that bubbles up within and gives eternal life. Now, I want you to think about this woman for a few moments. I want you to think about what it must have felt like to be in her shoes. I want you to think of the kind of self-esteem this woman must have had, or the total lack of it. I'd like you to think about what it was like to walk in her shoes. As I read this story, I wonder what her childhood was like. Did she grow up mistreated, possibly abused? What kind of opportunities did she have growing up? I wonder what her five husbands were like. I wonder about all the circumstances of her life that contributed to the challenges she faced. Maybe she had bouts of depression or had untreated mental health issues. She no doubt encountered people who would point at her and whisper about her. And that kind of encounter just dug the hole deeper and deeper and deeper for her to crawl out of. You know, there'll always be more than enough people around who want to pass judgment and drag others down. It usually comes from needy people who need to drag others down in order to build themselves up. It's toxic. But Jesus was saying to the woman at the well, I'm offering you a different kind of drink. It's not a drink of condemnation. It's living water that refreshes your soul. Now, we don't know what led this woman to lead this kind of destructive lifestyle. But what we do know is that Jesus saw beyond her circumstances and invited her to the fountain of life, to see herself and her life from a different vantage point. Not as someone who is powerless to change, but as someone that was not only valued in the eyes of God, but as someone who was not condemned to live forever in her destructive lifestyle. One of my favorite quotes comes from C.S. Lewis, and it goes like this. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus said, those who are healthy, they don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have not come to get all those who think they are right with God to follow me. I've come to get sinners to follow me. In other words, Jesus came not for people who take stock in their own self-righteousness, but for people like the woman at the well, and people like me, and people like you. People who don't always get it right. And Jesus offers them the gift of living water that comes from the Spirit of God, and it bubbles up like a fountain. Now, I believe there's more to this story than just radical acceptance and invitation that Jesus offered to this woman who had been through the ringer. I think there's more to this story than the invitation that Jesus is extending to us. I believe it's also a story that invites us to extend this same kind of radical acceptance and grace to the people we encounter every day. One of the real neat parts of this story comes a little later on in the chapter, where it says, the woman said to Jesus, I know that the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will tell us everything. And Jesus answered, I am he. I who am talking with you is he. And the woman immediately left her jar of water and went back to town to tell people, come and see this man who has told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? So they left town and they went to see Jesus. So Jesus not only reveals his identity as a Messiah, the impact of his words causes this woman to leave behind her water jar and share the news. And what I hope you'll see here is the ripple effect in her life. Her encounter with Jesus not only changes her and the way she sees her life, but she invites others to join her in meeting Jesus. You know, God breaks in and profoundly changes how we see ourselves, and it equips us to pay it forward by the way we accept other people. In his book, God Was Here, But I Was Out to Lunch, James Moore shares a true story about a man from his former congregation by the name of Roy. Roy was going through a tough time. His daughter was having a hard time growing up, and she'd become surly and rebellious and arrogant and difficult. It was one crisis after another with her. She was constantly in trouble, but Roy never wavered. He kept on praying that someday she would get her act together. And he kept on loving her and forgiving her. When she was 16, she ran away from home. All kinds of hurtful reports came back about the lifestyle she was living, but nobody could pinpoint exactly where she was. Finally, Roy got word that someone had seen her in Memphis, Tennessee. So Roy went to look for her. Roy searched all day and into the night for his prodigal daughter. He went into one dive after another, one bar after another, one teenage hangout after another, and everywhere he went, Roy would do the same thing. He would show people the picture of his daughter and ask if anyone had seen her. No luck. They either hadn't or they weren't talking. And everywhere he went that day, Roy struck a picture of him and his wife near the door of that establishment with this note: "Debbie, all is forgiven. We love you. Please come home." It was signed Mom and Dad. He didn't find Debbie that day, but 2 weeks later, she did come home, dirty, disheveled, hungry, but okay. And she said, "I couldn't believe my eyes. I walked into this bar one night, and I saw my mom and dad's picture and that note. And then I went to another place, and another, and another. And everywhere I went, there was my mom and dad's picture. And that note forgiving me and pleading with me to come home. And for the first time in my life, I realized that night how much my mom and dad loved me. I have hurt them so many times. I've broken their hearts so many times. And still, they came looking for me. Still, they loved me." And Moore writes this. He says, "Where did Roy and his wife learn to love like that? To reach out like that? To forgive like that? They learned it from Jesus, the one who reached out to the woman at the well and basically said, 'I know all about you. I know about all your sins. I know about all of your past. I know about your reputation. I still love you. I still value you. I still care about you. I still forgive you. And I want to help you make a new start with your life.'" A few years ago, we were up in the Adirondacks and ran into this little hardware store. And at the checkout desk, there was this sign: "To err is human. To forgive is not our policy." Thank God that's not God's policy. I love what it says in Lamentations 3. "Fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise, is the Lord's unfailing love and mercy for me." I'll drink to that. Cheers. Let's pray. We live in a world, O Lord, that is quick to condemn and pile on. But Jesus offers a different way, a different drink, a different kind of water, a living water that refreshes and restores our soul. Help us, Lord, to seek out this different kind of water that you offer to us and drink it in. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.